Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to episode 938 here at Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me is co-host Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning, Danny. Welcome back. How are you, my friend?
Good, man. Good. I had a great time in Europe, man. I was there for 4 days, I think. Yeah, 4 days. It's a lot of fun, man. Great time over there, man. It was my first time at Denmark and also Malmo, Sweden. Awesome, man. Have you been around that area? The only Stockholm, right? Sweden? That's it?
Yeah, I've been to Stockholm. Yep.
Have you been to Denmark?
No, I've not been to Denmark.
Okay. Yeah, it's crazy how close it is, Denmark and Sweden. Like, I landed, just took the train. Actually, true story, I was kind of lost with the train system over there. And then took the train. Went to Sweden. Took me like maybe like 15, 20 minutes. Really, really easy, man. And then from there, I just walked to the hotel from the train station. We're like super easy. Transportation, really, really easy over there. A lot of people riding bikes over there. Lots of people. So it's crazy. Every time I travel somewhere like that, people are like, all right, Danny, what's going on with the gaming stuff? Like, are you recording something for GTR? I'm like, nah, man. I was just handling business, man. Just doing my thing. So, but it was cool. I got to meet friends that live there, you know.
So yeah, awesome. Yeah. Let's move on with the show so you don't have to talk about why you're there. So let's just go.
No. I'm not going to talk about that. Hopefully in the future, maybe I could talk about it, but I'm not going to talk about it. But yeah, man, Paris, I know one of these days we're going to get together. I'm flying to LA.
Yeah, on the 16th.
An event. Yeah, for an event. Mm-hmm. That we can't talk about it just yet, but we're planning to record a couple episodes maybe over there. So stay tuned for that, man. By the way, are you okay, Paris? There's been a couple earthquakes around your area.
Yeah, I've been fine. And that's the funny thing, because everybody in their mind, oh my God, the earthquakes, are you okay? And because I live in Temecula, I didn't feel anything, you know, at my house, neither one. And even people out here in Temecula, some people said they did feel it. Some said they didn't. Some people all the way out in Vegas said they were feeling that earthquake. But it was basically L.A. based. And the fact that it was only a couple days apart, that's what has people worried more than anything. Just the magnitude of both of them. But I didn't feel them. It's funny with me. I've been out here, you know, 25 years. And maybe 3-4 times I've actually felt an earthquake, but yeah, nothing crazy.
It was actually three in the past, like the past 2 days, three earthquakes. So the first one was like a 6.4. The second one was like a 5 point something. And then the last one, Paris, this was at night. It was a 7.4.
Yeah, that was Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers. I'm serious. Like that happened, and then Kawhi was like, "Yeah, I'm going to the Clippers," and everybody lost their mind. That's what happened. Oh, that's what that was.
I had to call my niece because, you know, she moved from New York City to the West Coast, and I was like nervous because it's like her first time experiencing an earthquake like that, you know. So, but everything is good. So, glad to hear that it wasn't that crazy. So, hopefully, it stays that way, man.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So this episode, we have a couple things to talk about. We have fan mail, and also I want us to talk about Super Mario Maker 2 for the Nintendo Switch. Paris, you've been playing that too a lot, right?
Yeah, I have full disclosure on this because, you know, you already know, and I hinted at a little bit. I'm old, and I like to lift heavy things, and I hurt myself a week ago. So I've actually been bedridden for most of the week. And I've not played as much as I've wanted to, but I played enough to talk about it and to form my opinion on it and all that. But, you know, like I've seen you on Twitter posting like some of just these insane levels. I haven't deep dived enough into the custom stuff. I've been trying, I was like, let me finish the story, but I've dabbled in some of the custom made levels. And, you know, I do apologize because I've been writing them down on my work laptop, and I left my work laptop. So I don't have it with me right now.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, no, it's cool. I have five levels and from different creators. I definitely want everybody to start following them or either download one of their levels, which is really, really cool. But I'll say this, man, like, I think I'm going to start with this. I think this game should be at least a contender of Game of the Year so far. It might change from now to the end of the year, but this game is so freaking good and it's super addicting. So
yes,
I never purchased the game for the Wii U of the first Mario Maker, and then I know it came also for the 3DS. Never purchased it, but I did play it, and I was like, all right, this is really, really cool. But now there's way more users that purchase this game now compared to the previous ones. And I just love the creativity from people from around the world, man, from Europe, from Japan, from the United States, from Canada, just creating cool levels. And yes, I've been posting a lot of the crazy, insane levels, right? Which is fine. But Paris is also, you know, levels that it's not crazy. That's just, hey, I just want to play Mario. I don't want to like do these like stressful speed run levels or anything like that. So, but I'm just enjoying this game a lot, man. Like, this is one of those games that there's so much content. I don't see this stopping anytime soon, man. You know, my one of my cousins, her son, still to this day, he plays Super Mario Maker, the first one from the Wii U. There's still people creating levels on that. And that game came out years ago. So I can imagine this one for the Nintendo Switch. Dude, we're going to be playing this for a very, very long time. And you can't say that a lot with like other games, you know, like maybe games like Destiny or Division, that there's always new content, you know. But this one is like more from the gaming community posting insane, insane levels, man. But I'm loving it so much, man. I'm super addicted to, like, honestly, Paris, like, this is a game that I've been playing nonstop. Like, I have other games, like indie games I downloaded for the Switch. I haven't played it at all. I've just been playing Mario Maker the whole time. And every time I upload it, turn it on, there's always new stuff, new content every single time, man. You know, so what are your thoughts about just that part of just people creating cool levels, man, and well-designed too, well-designed.
The best way I can put it is this. I've always said that Super Mario Brothers 3 is the greatest game ever made, I still stick to that to this day. If you ask me my top five, Super Mario Brothers 3 will be at the top of that list. And I played a level that was a remix of one of the World 7 levels from Super Mario Brothers 3. And it was familiar enough that you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember this. But they changed up enough that you're like, well, God damn, this is hard. You know what I'm saying? And it was fun. It was so fun to play that level. And that's the secret. Secret sauce of Mario Maker is the fact that the community can go in. You can have a greatest hits of all the previous Mario levels if you so want. Or you can go in and make whatever you want. You can make it as hard as you want. You can make it as easy as you want. You can challenge it. You can put in certain things. There's so many different variables that you can do with these Mario Maker levels that I'm absolutely in love with. I am, which that's why I said full disclosure. I have not played it as much as I want to play it because I literally got it here right now. It's like I'm as soon as the show is over, I'm ready to go start playing this game again. You know, and like even yesterday, we're driving to my son had a basketball tournament. Out in Oceanside, and what do you think I played the whole way going there and the whole way coming back? I was playing Mario Maker because that's how fun it is to play these levels. And I look, every time Luigi comes on that screen talking about, hey, oh, I'm like, get out of here, dude. I don't need your help. Yeah. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. Yeah. Just because I screwed this up, I don't need you coming in offering assistance. So it's like those little things just, dude, it's so good. It is so good.
I do have to mention this.
And thanks for cutting me off as I was talking.
Sorry. It went silent. It went silent.
He just goes in. Dude, this is what he does, folks. Danny's back.
No. I heard silence. So I'm just letting you know from my side. I was not trying to cut you off. But anyways, so if you do purchase this game, you definitely need a Nintendo Online subscription in order for you to play like all the custom levels and everything. So if you don't have that, then the only thing you're going to be playing is just a single player, and that's it. I think it's worth it if you do subscribe to Switch Online, Nintendo Switch Online, or if you're still like undecided, yo, go for it, man, because you're going to be playing nonstop new levels every single time, man. Every minute, there's a new level, you know. So, but Paris, here's one level that somebody created. So, it was Mario 3. Right? No, actually, it was the original Mario Brothers. And once you get like a special mushroom, it turns into Super Mario Land for the Game Boy. I was like, yo, that is so super creative. I love that, man. It was super, super creative. I like that. There's people that created like Metroid theme levels or Zelda, Mario Kart. They will use the song from the original Mario Kart for the Super NES. In there, and you use like a cart in the game, and it's also challenging and everything too. So, dude, the levels I played, man, it's so creative, man. Like I've seen a couple that's just like 20-second speed run levels, 30 seconds. They like the ones that you were saying remake from past Mario games. They've done that. So there's different themes. There's the Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3. Super Mario Brothers World from the Super NES, or Mario Land, 3D World, and also the Mario Wii U, that version too, is also available in the game too. So let's say you go online and you like a level, but you have to go. Let's just say you have to head out at the house. You could download any of the custom levels and also play them offline. So I've been doing that a lot. So let's say, Paris, we're going to meet up in a couple days. I'm going to go to California. So I'm planning to download a lot of levels. And during my flight, I'm just going to play them like offline. So once I connect online, it will tell me if I pass like a world record, compare that to like other people. Now, the thing that I definitely have to mention that I'm not a fan of is just the online. So far, it's been sometimes it's like, it's been a success and sometimes it's been like a horror experience. So the reason why I say that is because of the lag. Sometimes I get into games because I play like co-op, let's just say multiplayer co-op. Yo, it's super slow and I can't do anything. We can't move sometimes. I don't like that. But sometimes once I find a game that there's no lag, it's a lot of fun. But you could also play those games locally. With friends, or you could connect with different Nintendo Switch and also play like that. You could play competitive or co-op with other people. But yeah, that's the only thing. And it's with randoms. You don't play with friends. And I hope a Nintendo releases an update where you could also play with friends online, because that's what I want. I want to play with friends, man, all the time, man. Or with the GTR community, whoever has the game, you know. So what do you think about that, Paris? You know, Nintendo always with the lag and all that, man, you know, it's annoying.
I've not actually done the online portion of it, so I can't speak to it yet. Again, I've not put in enough time into it to be able to do some of those extra features. Like I said, I've just focused mainly on, all right, let me get the story out of the way, which I'm almost done with, and then, you know, hey, I'll see someone on Twitter post a crazy level with a code or whatever, and I'll go check that out and play it, things like that. For me, when I sum up Mario Maker 2, it just comes down to, because like someone had put, I think you posted it originally, but it was someone else's tweet just yesterday. Someone said, what's been like your favorite three games of 2019 so far? And I thought about it, and I honestly thought about it, and it's Mario Maker. Mario Maker's number one. for me for 2019 so far.
Same here.
Hands down. Mm-hmm. This is the most that I've used the Switch this year is playing this game. You know, and like you said earlier, I have no desire to play anything else on the Switch right now except Mario Maker, whether I'm sitting here at my desk, whether, like I said, I'm on the go, whatever the case. Like yesterday morning, even before we left to go, I didn't want to sit in the office. So I took the Switch, I took it out into the kitchen, and I literally just sat there and played in the kitchen. But because I just wanted to keep playing, but I didn't want to sit in here to play. You know what I mean? And again, that just kind of goes back to the beauty of the Switch. The fact that you can take these games anywhere you want to go. And Mario Maker is just right now the crown jewel of that. And like you also said previously, as the community starts getting more and more comfortable with the level design, you're just going to start seeing just some insane levels being created out of here. We're only a couple weeks into it so far, and we're already seeing just some masterful designs. Imagine 6 months from now. Imagine a year from now. I mean, just the possibilities are going to be endless with this. So bravo to Nintendo. This is the game I didn't realize I needed, but damn it, I'm glad I have it. Because my son played the original Mario Maker, but I didn't really get into it that much. But I think, again, the fact that this is on the Switch and I can just play it whenever I want to play it, just, you know, makes it even better. And obviously Nintendo has taken some lessons learned from the original ones. And, you know, like you said, even, you know, with the online being able to add that portion in there, it just adds more playability to this. So I'm super excited for it. It's a lot of fun. I know some people have even said, oh, I'm not sure. I don't want to get it. I don't want to create levels. Dude, you know, I will probably not create a level. I'm not talented enough to do that. I just play them. Mm-hmm. That's enough. Yep. I'm telling you, that's enough just on its own. If you love platformers, if you're into Mario games, this is it. And like I said, for me, Mario 3, greatest game ever made. So what do you think I think about Mario Maker 2? It's right up there because I can play all those classic levels. I can play all these custom levels. It's all there for you. It's really good.
I'm going to keep it real. I don't have the patience to create a level. All I've been doing is just playing levels that people have been uploading all the time. So the good thing that I love about that part too, about just discovering new levels. So let's say I like a level and I'm like, yo, let me go to this person's profile to see if they created other levels. Yo, everything is there. Stuff that they created, stuff that maybe they liked from other users. So you could follow that person. And what I do is every time I turn on the system and I go to the creators that I've been following, you could see like all the new levels that they've been uploading, man. So I have a couple here that I definitely want, whoever's listening, this is the people that I definitely want you to be following, man. So this is one creator. His name is Bruh, Bruhhhhhh. He does a lot of like speed run creator levels. So this one is called 20 Seconds Fire Flower Rush. Is the code is 1FK. GKN, N is in no, VYF. Make sure to download his stuff and follow him. He posts stuff all the time, man. He's super dope, man. He's one of my favorite users to follow in Mario Maker. There's another one too. The creator of Celeste also been uploading a lot of levels that he created himself. Here's one course ID. Follow him, Q43. GXBWHG. Make sure to follow him too. So rapper Logic, hip-hop artist, he's been also uploading a lot of levels too. This one is called Super Bobby Boy Level 1. Follow him. This is his level that he uploaded. Y5Q673VQF. Follow him. Now, there's another user that I follow. I just started following him last night. His name is Danny H09 from the UK. Shout out to him, man. He does a lot of levels where you switch a lot, like the red and blue switch. Those levels are really, really cool. It's like speedrun type of levels. His ID is 9K9L33GXG. And there's one more left. His name is Nori139. This level is called Going Down, Please. The ID is 99H3TF3 WG. Just want to mention those names. I know it's like a lot of letters here, but for those who are listening, make sure to follow those people there. They're really, really dope, man. So yeah, I'm loving Mario Maker, man. I can't stop playing it. This is so freaking cool, man. Actually, I have the system on right now and the TV on, so I have the game there. So what I've been doing also is checking out like the popular levels that people have been playing the most. And it's been updating like every daily or every few hours. It changes every week for sure. So just want to say that. Highly recommended. The game is a must-have if you have a Nintendo Switch. So, all right, Paris. Anything else besides that?
No, I just, again, I would tell anyone that is listening to this right now or watching this on stream that, you know, if you're on the fence about Mario Maker 2, I'm telling you, this is a fantastic game. It is well worth the price of entry. You're going to have an amazing, if you're into platformers, again, if you love Mario games, this is right there for you. And just like Danny listed all these different custom levels that you can potentially experience, it's worth it. Trust me when I tell you that. I'm excited. Right after we finish this podcast, I'm going to jump back in and start playing again.
And you know, here's a challenge for the GTR listener worldwide. If you have Super Mario Maker 2 and you create a level, send it to me or to Paris and we'll try it out. Paris, right? We'll play it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anyone that's creating a level and you want me to try it out, yo, just hit me up on the Discord, hit me up on Twitter, just send me the code. I will absolutely check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, create a Let Me Dream level or something like that, you know? we'll definitely play it. And look, and someone create a level that is challenging for both of us. Paris, if you could stream that would be awesome too, man. That would be insane, man. So,
you know, I'm actually having an issue right now with because I wanted to do some captures with Mario Maker. I can stream fine. And I don't know why I'm randomly talking about this, but my Elgato 4K utility capture software crashes every time I try to do a capture. So something's up. I don't know. I've done a reinstall, made sure I got the latest update, all that stuff. The card's fine because I can stream. That's not an issue, but it's crashing, so I can't do any captures, which sucks. So I got to figure that out. I got to hit up Elgato, see what's going on.
That's weird.
But yeah, absolutely. Like you said, yeah, those challenges, send them over, stream it. Be a lot of fun to do it.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
I want to get a quick word in from our sponsor, Candid. Did you know that your teeth move as you get older? I'm 45 years old and I didn't know that. And guess what? My teeth have obviously moved a lot. So I want to get my teeth fixed. But do I want to do braces? That kind of seems like the last thing I want to do. And then I heard about our sponsor, Candid, the clear alternative to braces. And I'm all in. Candid has an orthodontist who is licensed in your state to create a treatment plan for you. And Candid only uses experience orthodontist. They even created a 3D preview of what the final results are like, and that's what Candid did for me. So like I said, you're going to talk to an orthodontist online. They're going to be able to create a plan for you. They're going to give you that 3D preview to kind of show you what the final results of what your teeth are going to look like after you go through the plan. So now also remember that with getting that 3D preview, Candid is creating a custom clear aligner that will be sent directly to you. That means no hassle of having to go to an actual orthodontist office. It's all done online. Candid costs 65% less than braces, and you can save thousands of dollars and have straighter, brighter teeth in an average of just 6 months. Now, I'm super excited to get my clear aligners from Candid and to begin to fix my teeth. You're one step away from getting straighter, brighter teeth to learn more at candidco.com/GTR and use our code GTR to get $75 off. That's Candid, CANDIDCO.com/GTR. Use our code GTR to get $75 off today.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Paris, we have a couple of voicemails, right, for fan mail?
Yeah, Yeah, we got a couple voicemails, and let me play the first one from our good friend Keon. Here we go.
Let's go.
Hey, what's going on, Danny and Paris? How are you brothers doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I was giving you guys a call about Sony and their new stance. I wouldn't call it a new stance, but what they're saying about their next generation system, possibly PlayStation 5. But they're saying that they are going for the hardcore gamer. And that, I mean, this is a loosely quoted quote where they said that they believe that people buy these consoles to get those AAA experiences, and that they are not so much so worried about the AA indie developers as far as their games go. So my question to you guys is, if that's the case, then it might not be a big emphasis on these indie games, but do you think that this is a great path for Sony to go down? Because me personally, I really don't like what Microsoft is doing right now. They are full of AA games right now that are going into Game Pass. I don't think that's a great model to follow. I'm a hardcore gamer. I want those AAA experiences. So for me, I think this is excellent. But you guys might feel differently. So I would love to get you guys' opinion on this. As always, you guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you guys for all of the continued hard work. And with that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, Keon, thank you for that. Appreciate it. It's an interesting point of view because I get what he's saying. And it's funny because if we go back to 2013, that was one of the big selling points for PlayStation, was to cater to the AA and the indie experience, obviously to buy time for them to get all their AAA experience games ready. I don't agree with you, Keon, for the simple fact that it's the people, the majority of the people that play on the console aren't necessarily always looking for that AAA experience. The thing that's going to get people coming back are going to be those AA and those indie type of games. So the more the better is the way I look at it. Of course, those AAA games are going to be there. We're the hardcore audience. So we're seeing it from, yeah, we want all these AAA games, but the casual gamer's not looking at it that way. They're looking for things that are going to be shorter experiences, more pick up and play, not these long drawn out Witcher 3, 400 hour, type experiences. Right. So, I get what they're saying. I just don't necessarily agree with it. I don't necessarily agree with you, Keon. I do think actually what Microsoft's approach has been here late in this gen and going into what Scarlett's going to be has been the smarter approach, especially with Game Pass being a thing right now, because having that subscription, it allows more of these AA and indie games to get some shine. It gives you more incentive that, hell, I already own it. If it's there, maybe I will go try it out. You go try it out. Maybe you wind up enjoying it. You tell your friends about it. More people played it on down the line. Again, the AAA things, they're always going to be there. They're the things that fund gaming, right? Because without these big AAA experiences, we don't have a PlayStation 5 or a Scarlett or a Switch or any of these other things. But it's those hidden gems of those AA and those indie experiences is what makes gaming so great, in my opinion. What do you think, Danny?
Well, I got to call out Keon because the other day he tweeted, oh, my God, I'm loving my friend Pedro. He posted a clip of it that he'd been playing in, right? He gave me a shout out because he heard my review that I've been praising that game so much. That's an indie game, Keon. That's an indie game. Imagine a world where we're just playing AAA games and there's no indie games. You would not be posting that type of content on your Twitter account, or maybe talk about it on your podcast. Look, we discovered a lot of cool indie games that became mainstream. Rocket League is one of them, right? Castle Crashers, I think that was the first one that I remember from back then, and also Geometry Wars that became a huge success. Ori and the Blind Forest, right? There's games like Inside. There's a lot I can't name right now, top of the head. But I remember when Alienware sent me a Steam machine, and I was telling Paris, hey, and I talked to him, Mandy, David, and Pete, for you guys to recommend me any games that's really big, the Steam community. that is not a AAA, maybe a lot of like indie games. And you guys recommend me a lot of games for me to download, man. And I discovered a lot of indie games through there, man. The Nintendo Switch, most of my games that I have there is all indie games. You know what I'm saying? So Xbox been doing a great job with that. You know, PlayStation, this generation, PlayStation 4, the majority of companies have been releasing indie games. When you go to like a PlayStation Experience, all you see is the indie community is promoting their games at the event, you know? So I think there needs to be a place where you need both. You need the mainstream games, right? Like Madden, Grand Theft Auto, like, you know, those type of games, Call of Duty, which comes out all the time, right? But you also need those hidden gems, man, because without that, dude, like, those indie developers are the ones that are taking risks. They're creating games that nobody else is doing. Nobody else. That actually, when they become successful, then all these big-time publishers and mainstream developers are the ones that copying their ideas, man. You know, so you need the indie scene, man. You can't just ignore that and just concentrate on AAA and that's it. I agree with you, Paris. I disagree with Keon, and I know a lot of people probably are feeling that way too, that you need that AAA and that's it. You know, forget about the indie scene. I totally disagree with that, man. So anything else besides that?
No. Thanks again to Keon. I saw someone make a joke that Keon's basically a co-host of the show. Might be right. I always appreciate the feedback, and he always is very insightful and is very articulate and kind to us. Yeah. So we truly appreciate that. And, you know, obviously, as we tell everyone out there, we send in feedback. You know, we mm-hmm. appreciate it. Whether we're able to play it on the show, we see it all. So we truly appreciate it. So let's go ahead into this next voicemail right now.
All right.
I sent this before and I'm sending it again, and I'm sorry to double up, but it sounded weird to me when I did it through my iPhone. But gentlemen, my name is Paul Perez. My podcast is the Improve and Have Fun Podcast, and I had a podcasting question that I wanted to ask the three of you. I do the podcast. I also do YouTube and I do Instagram, but of the three, of course, where I get the most downloads is on the podcast. Should I just focus only on the podcast and forego YouTube and Instagram since I don't get much engagement on there? So I'm basically asking like the one thing. Should I just focus on the one thing and get really good at it? Or should I continue in this day and age being on all platforms? I would love to hear your responses from the three of you. And thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you for all the content and congratulations on 11 million downloads, which is insane. It's incredible. Thank you again, guys. Look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, so you won't hear from the three of us because Pete is currently in Singapore eating at Popeye's, so he won't be here to answer your question. But from my point of view, mm-hmm. put it on every platform you possibly can. Obviously, like you said, you're getting your most traffic from the podcast, but you may get people on a YouTube or Twitch or wherever the case may be. You know, it won't be as big as the podcast, but they may be people that will find you there that don't listen to the podcast. I go, oh, I didn't realize he had a podcast for this too, and subscribe. Because I'll be honest with you right now, that's what I've been experimenting with GTR is, you know, I've been throwing it up. We obviously do it here on Twitch. We stream it. The podcast comes out consistently, you know, as you would expect. People can subscribe there. But, you know, I've been throwing it on YouTube, things like that. And guess what? I've had people discover us through that platform. I mean, yeah, it's not going to be as big as the podcast, but it exposes us to more people, which is the whole goal of us doing this. So absolutely, if you're willing to put in the time and the effort to be able to edit and to upload and do just all the things that comes with that, absolutely do it. Don't limit yourself to just one platform if you don't have to. But if that's all you want to do is put it on just an audio podcast, that's fine too. It's up to you. It's your content. You do what you want with it, what makes you happy. The one thing that I tell everybody with this stuff, do what you want to do, what makes you happy. Don't look at numbers. I don't look at numbers. Danny, look at the numbers. I don't look at the numbers because I don't want to know. I just put it out. I go on to retweets and do all that stuff. I put it on YouTube. It's on Twitch. It's on, you know, Spotify and ColecoVision and everywhere else. And it is what it is, you know. And if you put out quality content, your audience will find you. That's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, the reason why I look at the numbers is to see if we've been doing a good job, like if there's a lot of activity, if there's maybe topics that we have on our show that maybe is bringing a lot of new people to listen. So it's research reasons. That's the main reason why I'm always like checking to see how we're doing with the numbers and stuff. So, but yeah, like Paris said, I totally agree with you, Paris. Like, go everywhere with your content, man. Go everywhere. You know, I also would recommend for you to do some exclusive content, maybe for YouTube, and exclusive content for your podcast, just to experiment to see if people will come back and just either listen or watch your content on YouTube, man. So do that. We actually used to do that when we had the podcast app of Gamertag Radio, which you could download. It's still to this day. You could download it and check it out. So it's available for every device out there, Windows, Android, and iOS. Just look up Gamertag Radio, download it. And what we used to do is create exclusive shows only available for app users. So like Mandy and David, they had a show called Backlog. They will talk about games that they've been collecting dust and they haven't finished it. So they talk about the games that they've been playing. There's like old games. And we will post like exclusive roundtable discussions. It's only available on an app. It's not available on Apple Podcasts. You know, the reason why we do that is because just for the hardcore audience that loves GTR and they love the content, we'll post that all the time there, man. So, but yeah, like I know that everybody wants to do like the whole video and audio. And then, look, man, just create content, man. Don't worry about YouTube or the podcast. Just create content, man. That's all that matters, man. And create great content that is going to get people like their attention. And be like, oh, man, you know, I'm loving this, man. I'm loving this. I'm going to subscribe and support, you know. So, yeah, that's it. So anything else, Paris? Is there any other questions or fan mail or anything that we could?
That's it for voicemails.
Okay.
No, appreciate it again, everyone sending their feedback. I know we have some of the Discord. Next episode, we'll dive into those and mm-hmm. read some of those. But yeah, man, I mean, it's like I said, we're in the summer, so there's a lot of crazy gaming stuff going on. I will say, mm-hmm. and I'm going to say the name wrong. So hold on. I'm trying to look it up real quick. Okay. How do you say it? The Warframe Festival. How do you call that? What was it called? Tent? See, I'm screwed up.
You're asking the wrong person because I don't even
know. I feel bad because I'm screwing it up. The Warframe because they just had their TennoCon, something like that.
Wait, yes. Is it Tenno? I'm reading the chat.
TennoCon. I found it now. TennoCon. TennoCon. That's it right there. That's the hashtag for it. But anyways, Warframe.
Congratulations.
Yeah. No, but I was watching some of the stream from it yesterday because they did it in London, and wow, I mean they're doing some impressive stuff on the Warframe side, and I have talked for the past couple of years like, oh, I need to get in Warframe. I think it might be time, Danny. I think I might have to jump in and do that. Which it was funny that was happening at the same time Guardian Con was going on as well in Orlando. Obviously, that's been mostly Destiny focused over the years, hence the name Guardian Con. But they expanded it this year that Remedy was there. They were showing off Control. Borderlands 3 was being shown off there. But Bungie had a big presence there this year. They had an actual booth. Big away team from Bungie showed up. You know, they're mm-hmm. signing autographs. They had panels. excuse me.
Charity event, too. I think they raised $4 million.
$4 million I know. The whole St. Jude's.
Yeah,
we'll see. Yeah, it was really good. But the irony is Gamescom, this was the last year for – not Gamescom. God, I'm sorry. This is the last year for Guardian Con. They're now changing the name next year, and they're going to be called GCX, which is the Gaming Community Expo. Still going to be in Orlando. It's going to be – next year is going to be June 27th and 28th, which is great because it obviously started off as just being Destiny, but now it's going to grow and become even more than that and expand into more games, which is great. And Bungie and obviously the Destiny fans still can participate in all that stuff. But mm-hmm. like back to the original point – it was great to see, you know, the TennoCon thing happen over in Europe, but then you obviously still had GuardianCon happening here. And like I said, I'm just looking at what Warframe has transformed into. I mean, yo, they were doing space battles and you're invading ships, and then you could do the squad link where you could bring in basically another squad can come in and help you while you're fighting on the ship. They'll be the ground crew on the planet taking out the shield. I was like, this game looks incredible. I have to go try it. I had absolutely nothing about Warframe. I'm going to be a complete noob into it, but I got to figure out some time here to actually jump in and explore that world. I don't know how I'm going to do it between this, Destiny, I'm playing The Division, Mario Maker, obviously Gears 5 is about to come out. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to figure it out. I'll figure it out. I got to put some time into it.
You also forgot that there's also RTX is going on too at the same time.
Yeah, RTX is happening this weekend in Austin. Wow. Yeah. So much going on.
I mean, that's good. That's good, man. There's a lot of options out there for all of us, man. You know?
Yep.
So really cool. Yeah, Paris, I think I might be wrong. Please correct me, guys, if you're watching or listening to this. I think there's cross saves for Warframe. So if you play PC version, you could play it on Nintendo Switch or Xbox, PlayStation 4, I think. I'm not sure.
I think, and again, you're talking, I'm an idiot when it comes to this, so I don't know. I don't want to misspeak, but I'm pretty sure I saw something in the stream yesterday. People were screaming about cross-save, so I need to do my research.
Also, they have it more. Okay.
But I don't know if it's across all platforms, whatever the case may be, but I know they're looking at something. But the stuff that they were showing yesterday, that was clearly PC, and I know they were even hinting at potentially like PlayStation 5, Scarlet, and all that when those come out, because, I mean, graphically, I mean, dude, you're going to need the latest and greatest high-end PC to be able to display it with the things that they were showing. Again, I was very impressed with it. I don't know anything about Warframe. I don't know the lore. I don't know the world. I don't know the mechanics. I just know visually what I was seeing looked like a lot of fun and was like something that I want to try out. And hey, they're the OGs when it comes to this free-to-play model that has obviously been working very well for them. We know Destiny is about to dip their toe into it as well. Fortnite does it, things like that. So I'm going to try it out. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I have the Nintendo Switch version. That's the one I've been playing like nonstop. So it looks good, man. It looks good either way. It doesn't matter if you have the Switch version or Xbox, PlayStation 4, PC. So are you getting the PC version, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would roll with the PC version, which I guess I'll speak on that since you're here, Danny, because hopefully in the future you'll be joining us here on the PC side. So
yeah,
I've started to spec out what I want to get for a PC next year. I'm not going to build it. I'm not going to buy any parts this year. It'll be next year once I actually start buying parts. But I'm for sure going to get a Ryzen CPU. I'm very impressed with what Ryzen is doing. I don't see Intel doing anything in the next 9 months to change my mind. So I'm pretty sure, you know, I don't think I'll get a 3900. I may get something a little lesser than that, but definitely looking at a Ryzen CPU. GPU, I still have no idea what I'm going to do because I'm not impressed with these RTX super cards. I see no reason to get it. I look at a 2080 Ti. I'm not spending $1,200 on a card. I look at what the AMD, like the 5700 cards, are just not powerful enough for what I want. So that's out. So I'm still flummoxed on what kind of GPU. Like, I have a 1080 Ti. I still see no reason to get off my 1080 Ti right now. So I don't know. We'll see early next year, though. Like I said, I'm targeting March on when I'll probably buy, or I shouldn't say buy, well, when I'll build, you know, my next PC, because I want it for Cyberpunk. I did it for The Witcher 3 with this one, and I'll do the next one for Cyberpunk. So I'm budgeting out right now about $2,500. $2,500 to $3,000 is what I'm willing to spend on my next PC build. But hey, it'll be worth it because I originally built this PC back in May of 2015, and other than swapping out the GPU, it's been a freaking champ. So by then, it'll be 5 years. That's worth it. That's well worth it. I feel like I've got my money's worth out of it, and I'll reinvest again, and this will basically be my gaming PC / Xbox Scarlet, because that's the other thing. I'm not convinced that I need Scarlet, at least not at launch anyways. We'll see what Xbox does as far as Xbox One X support. Like, I don't see a reason for my son saying, "Dad, I need Scarlet." Okay, let me go spend $500 on it. It's like, no, you got a One X, go play Halo on that, and I'll have my PC, you know, if I want to see it in the latest and greatest fidelity at that time. I'll get PlayStation 5 at launch. I'm pretty convinced of that, but with what Microsoft is doing, I just don't see a reason to invest in Scarlett at launch if you have a high-end gaming PC.
See, once I get my gaming PC, I'll download Steam, and I have a lot of games that I purchased for the Steam machine, which is also compatible for the PC, of course. So I'm going to have a lot of games that are ready for me to download. So, but I don't know. I'm debating if I should download games from like the Epic Game Store. I don't know if that's, should I do that or not even bother?
Let me say this real quick, because I understand the controversy with the Epic Store. And, oh, I don't know if you saw with Shenmue that now Epic is going to directly refund people that don't want to invest. And look, and I get that, you know, if you don't want to be on that platform, you don't need to be on that platform. That's a choice. I don't agree with Epic's tactics right now with doing the exclusive stuff necessarily, especially when you're pulling something from a Kickstarter or whatever, and people are expecting it one way, and then you pull the okie doke on them, and now they're forced to get it through Epic. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with some of their tactics pulling some of the content from Steam as well. I mean, there's a whole thing about it, but my point on it is this. I just like to play games. The Epic launcher doesn't bother me. And I talked about this a little bit last week because, like, I've been messing around with GOG 2.0, which Epic, you know, I think you can launch games from Epic on it. I forget now. But the point on it is this. Having the different launchers does not bother me. I just want the damn game. If that's where I got to go to get the game, then that's where I got to go. I'm not going to raise a huge stink just because I have to go to the Epic Store to get something, or Steam or Uplay or whatever the case may be. I just want the games. But with all that said, if I have a choice, I'm not going to go to Epic. I would go to Steam, or I'd go to GOG way before I would go to the Epic Store to ever buy a game. But that's all on the business side, policy. I get all that. I get what their tactic is. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I'm not going to go to the extreme of I'm not going to play a game just because the only place I can get it from is Epic. To me, you're depriving yourself of fun. That's the way I look at it. And, you know, Epic's not losing sleep if you decide to not pick up their game. That's the way I look at it. So I don't know. I don't know. And I know you're not big into this PC world right now, so it doesn't
really
affect you yet.
Yet. Yeah. Yet.
But it will. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. We're going to wrap it up here. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Download our podcast. Any podcast app, just look for GamerTag Radio. We're there. And send us questions. We love to do fan mail here, man. I'm going to play the audio right now, so you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, anything else? About it, right?
Yeah, I'm not used to doing this podcast stuff with you on here anymore, because I like to talk, and then you come in, all right, we're wrapping it up, we're done. I'm like, wait, I'm still talking.
Yeah, well, we gotta wrap it up, man. It's summer. I gotta take advantage of this, man, you know, because I'm telling you, it's gonna get crazier once August, September hits. We're gonna get a lot of content to talk about, man, because all those games coming out for, like, during the holidays. So yeah. Yeah, I just want to take some time, man. I'm not 100% sure we're going to have a second episode this week. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be out of town on a business trip. So, unfortunately, I won't be around to record during the week. I'll be back at the end of the week. So, I mean, we'll be back next Sunday to record. But I do want to remind people, shameless plug, if you go to my YouTube channel Tuesday morning, there may be something up there that I may or may not have recorded already that's gonna premiere, but had a lot of fun with that, and it's a new thing for me to start doing, which I'm excited about. So I'll be in the air when it releases, but hopefully people can check it out and provide feedback, because it's fun. I like doing the video stuff,
and hopefully we'll talk about it on the future episode of Gamertag Radio.
Oh, and to answer something from the chat, because they just asked me, when am I putting out MCU Rewatch? Because did watch Spider-Man Far From Home and MCU mm-hmm. Rewatch. We were recording that Monday night. I am not 100% sure when Mark will put it out. He usually puts it out right away. So I would imagine that if you're listening to this, check around July 9th, Tuesday morning. It most likely would be out, and we'll be giving our thoughts on Spider-Man Far From Home. Spoiler, it's really good.
It's really good? All right. I got to watch it this week. I got to watch it this week.
Oh, and remember when it's coming back, by the way. So, look, see, this is why I like to talk. Just let me talk. Remember when Jay and I, we are 100% coming back, and we're probably going to be doing it, matter of fact, on Twitch, on this feed, and obviously it'll be on the Remember When podcast feed as well. But we're going to do our version of our thoughts of Spider-Man Far From Home, as well as we're going to talk about just Avengers Endgame, just all that stuff. We got a lot of Remember When stuff to catch up on, but Jay and I are coming back. The dynamic duo is coming back. Screw you, Danny. That's my original co-host, not you.
That's your OG. How about that? That's the OG. That's the OG. It's all good. It's all good, man. All right. So thank you for listening to Gamer Tag Radio episode 938. Just want to say thanks to everybody for listening to the podcast, man. See you next week. Only here on Gamer Tag Radio. Peace.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.